we begin another journey here on Swing Thoughts, the semi-professional podcast that is produced by myself, golf spiritual leader, and Coach Tim O'Connor, author. He's an author, for God's sake, and he's been working on his latest book. It's like, I don't know, he's put a lot of work in it. It's like the follow-up to the Golf Bible or something, but it's called, I got it right here, Getting Unstuck, 6 Transformational Practices for Golf Nerds. Hey, there he is.
All right. You remembered it this time. I'm honored.
I did. Let the truth be told, every week before we start recording, I go, so what's the name?
What the hell is this thing called?
What's here? And I wish I were doing a bit. The other day I saw, I don't follow Facebook very closely, but I saw that you had posted something, and the line was, writing a book is hard. And I was like, that just means another delay before we get to read 6 Transformational Golf Nerd Wisdom Book.
Well, it's like when you get on the first tee, you got to get your excuses out of the way. Mm. Oh, I didn't sleep very well. Oh, my back. Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
How many strokes are you asking for this time, pal?
Let me just do this really quickly. Paying attention to our friends, OscarBravo.com. That's our apparel sponsor. And, of course, SecretLinks.golf in Mexico. And our title sponsor that we're so proud to be part of, the TaylorMade family, considering what asses are being kicked by Scottie Scheffler. You think about it. TaylorMade boasts not only Scottie Scheffler, but Tim O'Connor and golf spiritual leader in their stable of players. And we couldn't be more proud. Listen to this important message.
Get fit with TaylorMade Golf's ultimate custom club fitting experience. The TaylorMade Performance Lab in Woodbridge unites golfers with a personalized fitting session and TaylorMade equipment to optimize your game. Highly trained master fitters take an in-depth look at the golf swing utilizing industry-leading technology. Book your fitting experience now to cover all your custom needs from driver to putter. Free gift with booking. Get fit. Optimize your game at the TaylorMade Performance Lab. Visit TaylorMadeFitting.ca.
There you go. That's professional.
And we would be remiss not to mention that the other player in the stable who's just wowing the world right now is Nelly Korda. Holy
crap. Yeah, that's
crap.
Right. Nelly
Korda. Jamie,
Cortado.
You introduce him, but we'll get into
let's
these
let's introduce
players.
Him first. Yeah. I when I was saying that about Scheffler, I knew I was forgetting something important, and it was Nelly. And speaking of important, he is the director product line. Did I get that right? Product line manager. I said director. He is the
director's good. I just got a promotion.
He's the senior vice director of product line management.
He is Swing Thoughts. Another bogey to start.
And every year, his boss says, "Listen, can you go on with those idiots again?" And Jamie has to go, yeah, I guess, sure. I like talking to morons. He is all of that. He actually is the product line manager of TaylorMade Golf Canada. And always a pleasure to welcome back to this program. Welcome back, Jamie Dees. Hey, Jay.
Thank you, lads. Good to see you.
Well, let's get right to it, man. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Does that help when Nelly and Scottie Scheffler are doing what they've been doing the last couple of months? Does that make a difference?
Absolutely. And the nice thing with both of those players is for us, they're playing different product too, playing different drivers. We've got all 3 drivers in play across multiple tours. But it's not just Scotty. I mean, you got Scotty and Rory, number 1 and 2. Louis Avu on the LPGA is also playing QI driver. Matt Anderson won last week in PGA Tour Americas.
Yeah, Canadian.
Miles Russell, the 15-year-old in the Corn Ferry. I mean, we sponsor him with an NIL deal, too. I mean, he finished top 20, 15-year-old on the Corn Ferry.
No, it's crazy. What? By the way, you said something. What does that mean, NIL deal?
Amateur players or college players, high school players, you can't sponsor them the way you do a professional. But we do name, image, likeness deals now with it kind of opened up a whole new avenue, really, with younger players and college players in the ranks. It gives a whole new avenue for our sports marketing team to go out and get some of the best players that are yet to turn professional and get them in TaylorMade product as well. And man, he put on a show last week as well.
Yeah, you guys are kicking butt, taking names all over the place. So one of the key things that we wanted to get into today was the QI10 driver. Now, Howard and I know a little bit about golf tech. Actually, we don't know anything about it. So
speak for yourself. I used to wind when I was a kid. I used to help Mr. Berglund at the Moose Jaw Golf and Curling Club wind that fishing line around the old, persimmon headed woods. But long before your time, Jamie.
No. I was doing that. I did that stuff.
Yeah. Around persimmon. But your point is taken. So for us guys that don't really know tech, maybe give the audience and us a little idea of what the QI10 is and why it's an improvement on what you were doing before.
Yeah, so QI10 is the name of the product stands for your quest for 10,000 inertia. Quest for inertia 10K. And the QI10 Max driver is the one that we are really talking about first and foremost, because it delivers what is called 10,000 MOI. That probably doesn't mean a lot to people. That's why we're trying to educate. But what that means is maximum forgiveness. We've never produced something that is as forgiving as the QI10 Max. And that's the driver actually that Nelly is using. You typically equate that to someone who is really geared towards game improvement, needs help with slicing, hooking the ball, whatever it is. But in this case, I mean, the launch conditions work so well that Nelly put it in play. That's the one that she's using, the one that you would normally, again, equate or relate to a game improvement player. So it's been a huge improvement for us. And really what it is it's about stability and forgiveness. We're not going to compromise on speed and distance, of course. But if we can get players to hit more fairways and get more enjoyment out of the game, then that is obviously the goal. So QI10 Max has what we call 10,000 MOI, which is a measurement of sort of horizontal and vertical forgiveness. We can dive into the real details if you want. But really what it's about is hitting more fairways and hitting the ball a lot straighter. So we have three different models, QI10 Max, QI10, and the QI10 LS, which is a low spin, that sliding weight that you typically see. And again, the cool thing for us this year, all three are in play on major tours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Rory and Scotty are using QI10. Tommy Fleetwood's using QI10 LS. Nelly's using QI10 Max. So first time we've ever been able to say anything like that.
So what's, if you could do for us simpletons, what's the cartoon version of what allows you to create this product that has that much inertia killing properties?
Yeah. So there's three things that you need to do to build inertia. Cause really what it is speed and forgiveness kind of, they work against each other. Typically you can make a product go a lot faster. It's easier. You make the head lighter, or you move some weight around, but then you're going to compromise launch conditions. You're going to compromise forgiveness. Conversely, you can make the head weigh twice as much as it does. It'd be really stable, but you couldn't swing it very fast. So there's all these trade-offs that you typically have. So, in terms of this, we had to use a lot more carbon. We had to use there's an infinity crown on the top now. It's fully carbon. There's only 3% from the address view that is now titanium. Only a third of the head mass is titanium now, which is a pretty small element to that. So used more lightweight materials, changed the shaping of it. So we pulled the shape and make it a little bit longer. And then we place all that mass that we saved back into that new area to make it a lot more stable. Really pulled the center of gravity back and kept it low so that launch conditions are even better than they were before.
You know, it's a difficult thing for a manufacturer like you guys who are in the business of selling golf clubs and making them better, because you're always looking, the R&D has got to be years away because you're always looking for ways to make it better. And, you know, back when, I can't remember which was the driver that introduced forgiveness, it might have been the Stealth. And the idea now that you can have forgiveness with speed, I can just tell you, I put it in play last week. I was in Pinehurst, not the fancy one, just kind of I was in the Pinehurst area. Didn't play the famous course, but I played four rounds, and I got to be honest with you guys, I'm going to talk about it with Tim later on the show. I hit it like shit. Like really, like my swing was just not in sync. But I can tell you, I kept that thing in play more than I deserved. And I'm being honest, like I really was not swinging well. I would roast one or two, but what I noticed was, as bad as I was swinging, I was finding the golf ball, and decent distance, but really was like, wow, that's not OB. Like, over, honestly, and that's what I would like to say as by way of an endorsement in terms of how good it is. I really noticed that. And I also, by the way, I had my stealth with me because I wanted to see what it felt like on the range. But I can say, and so I would say, if that was the goal, that's been achieved. And is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're seeing. And one of the things that we looked at when we originally started talking about the product was that resistance to twisting is really what it is, right? And I don't know if you've seen the TV commercial, the overhead shot as the face twists open when you make impact out on the toe. That's legitimately what happens. We're seeing much lower deflection so that the face just stays a lot more square and a lot more stable. And you can just tell where the ball that hits the face that twists a lot is going to go. It's in the woods. It's in the water. It's way right. There was never actually an original plan to put that in the commercial, but it was just so compelling. That's the image that we want to etch in people's brains effectively, is how much more stable it is this year. And all three models are more forgiving than their predecessors, but QI10 Max is in a world of its own, and it's going to be the best for the broadest number of consumers out there for sure.
So you've also got the QI10 irons this year.
Yep.
And what was interesting in looking at those is that, similar to the driver, what you're helping golfers with is the predominantly, most golfers are right-handed in Canada, but well, anywhere, but it's that right miss. Can you explain how that the QI10 irons work to help straighten it out?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're really talking about straight distance is the kind of the buzz term or the catchphrase that we're using for the iron this year. And irons inherently have right bias. Even game improvement irons, which you would think you would want to steer people left as a right-handed player, they have inherent right bias because there's so much more mass out on the toe. There's a longer span out there, so it's more flexible. So each iron has to be designed individually. So the longer irons have a little bit more stiffness out on the low out on the toe. As you get towards the scoring clubs, that stiffness moves, that thicker area moves a little bit higher, a little more centerward, if that's a word, a little more.
We make all kinds of words up
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's a word on this show.
Closer to the center of the face.
And, we're going with that one. That's a new one for us.
Centerward. Yeah, but it moves a little bit more, a little bit higher and a little bit more towards the center of the club face. And what that does is it just eliminates that. It stiffens up the toe area a little bit, and it helps keep the ball just a little bit more left of where it is. Again, other companies make really good product out there, but there is a lot of inherent right bias that's built even in a game from an iron. And you think of how many players that are a little bit higher handicaps miss the green right, and we're trying to combat that as best we can. And we've been able to do that with QI by designing each one independently.
And I want to get to the golf ball in a second, but I want to go back to the QI. The drive, there's also QI fairway wood. I got fit in December and played all winter. I was very lucky. And one of my favorite clubs from before was my stealth 3-wood. And then, again, I just want to be honest. So last week, when I was really not hitting it very good, I played 4 rounds with my buddies. And I thought I did the mature thing. I was really struggling with my driver, even though, like I said, I was making bad swings, keeping it in play.
Sorry, mature.
I know.
Power.
I know. Just relax
here.
Just relax here, Tim. And then I thought, okay, the mature thing is I'm not, there's a couple holes. I wasn't familiar with the golf course. There was a couple holes that were sort of in the 380 range. So I thought, I can hit 3-wood on this. And then I hit this QI 3-wood, this fairway wood. And this is the truth. I hit it as far as a couple of my friends' drivers. I roasted this thing. I don't know what's in it, but I was hitting the 3-wood so good, Jamie. I think people should know that you've done something to that, the QI fairway woods, because when I got fit, I hit it pretty good indoors, but you never know what it's going to be like until you get it outside. What have you done to that?
a lot of the same thing as the driver. So in this case, added this infinity crown. There's no leading edge anymore, which I think, quite frankly, is if it's not as important, it's nearly as important as adding that in as we did in the driver. The reason being is that like a three was really intimidating for a lot of players to hit, right? Because it's less than half the size of the driver, but it's nearly the same sort of distance away from you, right? There's a lot more miss that's inherently built into the fairway. So it makes it look a little bit larger. It gives it a bit of a larger presence. And then we developed a face called OptiFace. So effectively, it's a variable face thickness throughout, really to maximize ball speed where you're hitting it. And improve some of the launch conditions by saving the weight with that infinity crown, and really just maximize launch conditions. But again, it's also about covering the entire spectrum of players. So we have a QI10 Tour, which is a very low spinning, really high ball speed, a lot of adjustability built in, sliding weight that moves back and forth with 50 grams of steel you can slide. And we also have a QI10 Max, larger head, much more forgiving, a weaker loft, get the ball up in the air, a lot of back weight on that. And then the core model, of course, is really your combination of both forgiveness, distance, ball speed, really good launch conditions with the QI10 fairway as well. And it's a culmination of all of the other technologies that we've built in over the years as well, right? V-Steel sole and, there's an aerodynamic treatment on the hosel as well to make it a little slippery through the air. So really building on all of the great things we had. And we're the leader when we look at tour reports every week. It's something we don't talk about a lot, but we are the clear leader in fairway woods on tour. And especially with players who are not contracted to play our product.
That's crazy. Well, I'll tell you, I noticed, and again, speaking as a guy that's a big fan, I noticed less of a difference from my stealth to this on the fairway, but I noticed a big difference off a tee. Like, it just sort of came out of there. It's got a hot, whatever you just said, it's got a hot face, whatever all that was, V-steel and grams of sliding weight and the thing on the top. But I would tell you, I hit it several times as I was playing last week, and I was like, I've never seen a three would do that. Pardon me?
Do you have a tour model with the slider on the bottom?
Yeah. I've got the tour model, yeah. Well,
that is where you see, especially if you have that weight forward.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Ball is that thing is an absolute rocket.
Well, here's the thing. The way I had it adjusted is I put the weight so that it's coming out lower. It comes out lower, which is what I wanted off the tee. So maybe that's one of the reasons, you know, off the fairway, I'm not that good. I can't get it as, I'm not as much speed through it. But off a tee, it's pretty remarkable. Timmy, let's talk about the new golf balls.
Yeah, well, I just think that staying with this high-level theme of physics and geometry, you know, that higher area that Howard and I both live in.
Exactly.
I just want to say that TP5X, I love that yellow. That is sweet. Look. But I imagine I know that there's some other properties.
Just the color that makes it... That's what we think.
The color that makes me happy.
We think you guys did something to the color. That's why it goes farther.
Well, don't undersell the yellow. I haven't been a yellow ball player, but that's what I've the couple of rounds I've gotten in this year. I've played the yellow.
Right.
One of the cool things about the yellow is usually what would happen in old golf balls. Urethane naturally is kind of a gray color, so you have to paint it. Obviously, all golf balls are painted. But we found a way to actually dye the urethane yellow. So if you scuff it a little bit, it doesn't start to look old, right? You get a little bit more durability out of it. It makes it look a little crisper, a little bit sharper. So what you get is it's basically like, it's like doing a base coat if you're painting your room. So we've been able to dye the urethane yellow and then paint it yellow. So it's a little sharper for sure.
Yeah, well, I love that because... For, you know, in back way back in the 80s, I know before a lot of our listeners were born, the colored ball thing was huge. You played all kinds, and then it, you know, went back to pristine white, and that's just what you play. And then the colored ball started to kind of sneak back in. But I love that yellow ball. I love the way it looks. I love when you hit it maybe against, a forest background or a hill. It just kind of freezes there. It just looks so cool. But in all seriousness, sir, what are some of the properties that make it like Nelly Korda? She plays the TP5X.
Yeah, it's the big thing for this for us this year was changing the density of the core. So we're still the only tour ball that has five layers, and you can do more with five layers than you can with three or four. So changing the density of the core make it a little bit squishier. If you were to take cores and just drop them on the floor, this year's bounce is a lot higher. What that allows us to do is stiffen some of the other layers as well to really capture that energy. So it's got a little bit of a crisper sound to it. But with TP5X specifically, we're touting that it's a half club longer.
Yeah.
So you can go and hit your 5-iron, your 7-iron now, and you're going to get about a half club distance out of it. Whereas TP5, you're not going to see as big of a performance difference year over year. That one is really more about the player who wants a little bit more spin. There are certain players out there that don't spin the ball very much anymore, so you actually want to spin the ball. You want it to sound a little softer off the putter. You want a little more check around the greens. That's your TP5 player. And then TP5X is really all about, you know, reduction of spin and maximizing distance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's noticeable. We've seen players pick up 6, 7, 8 yards with a 7-iron.
Well, I was going to say that, and for a company, I had this conversation prior to recording today with the guys saying that, you know, when a company makes a claim, and I wanted to just make sure that you've run it through legal to actually say, a half a club longer. I'm sorry. What's funny, Mr. O'Connor? Are you having trouble following the conversation?
I didn't know that we were so like this show is it's becoming more and more. I don't know. Maybe we're veering from semi professional to somewhat professional.
I only say that only because of the conversation that you can. It's rare for a company to be able to legally say, this is my point, laughing boy, yep, that a company like TaylorMade to actually say it's a half club longer, you can't, it's not the norm to be able to actually make that claim. All by way of saying, how can you make that claim?
Well, our legal team is definitely very, very strict when it comes to some of these policies. Some of the things that don't pass legal seem like they're pretty minute details. So for us to be able to say this means it's legit. And we're simply able to make that claim because all of the data that we have supports that. You come in and you see tests that get done. And we had a great ball before. We had a ball that was industry leading before, and we're comparing it to ourselves, but also the competition, and saying, if you come in and get fit with TP5X, you're expecting to be a half club longer. So it's legitimate, and that's why we're able to say it. It went through all the legal wranglings, I'm sure. It took a lot to get through those hoops, but we're seeing that performance gain in the lab here and out on the course.
And to be clear, we're talking about a real big jump in the shorter irons. I was doing the testing in the lab again on the couple hours I spent last December and tried a couple prototype balls. They actually said proto on them. And it was crazy. I would have never. Two things happened. It went further, absolutely went further, but it went higher too.
Yeah, and I think one of the other elements to it is for us, there are a lot of other companies out there that have their higher ball speed option. If they have two premium balls, it usually spins a little bit more as well. So ours is actually the lowest spinning and the lowest spinning and the highest ball speed combination. So for somebody who really wants to maximize distance, that's the absolute answer for them. Well, and again, a lot of players don't spin the ball very much anymore. So TP5 is still a very viable option for that player who wants to, you know, keep that more parabolic curve and shoot the ball up in the air a little bit more and control the spin. That's definitely a viable option for them as well. But we're seeing a shift. We normally would have seen a little bit more TP5 sales. I think it's shifting into TP5X just purely based on the numbers that people are getting now.
Well, Tim, it's clear to see and understandable why this gentleman is the senior vice president of people that do product line management. The product line manager. Oh, he does. He knows a lot of stuff. I just wanted to go far and straight And Jamie, always a pleasure. We'll catch up again before the season's over and get a mid-season update. And on behalf of Scotty Scheffler and Nelly Cor and Tim and myself, we appreciate your support.
We are very proud to have the number one and two players on the PGA Tour, the number one player on the LPGA, and the number one and two players on this podcast.
There you go.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's
whoa.
Right, my friend. I was hoping to get one of those green Masters TaylorMade bags. Hey, Jamie, all the best to you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Gentlemen, thank you.
There you go. Jamie.
Cheers.
Yeah. A band is blowing Dixie. Yeah, that's why I was trying to get that legal stuff out. That's why I was like, what are you laughing at? Let me get this, because it's not, they can't, you know what I was trying, they can't make that claim unless it's true. Like,
oh, well, exactly, yeah.
It's crazy, man.
You can't make claims about your product unless it's absolutely, well, certainly true. But it's always interesting in the advertising world, the language that they use. Like, I was going to ask them, but then I thought, yeah, there's more important things to talk about. It was like, how much did the legal guys bounce around the idea that they could say forgiveness?
Yeah, I know. That wasn't my favorite spot. I guess a nebulous concept. I was trying to explain to Fred of the Humble and Fred show the other day after Scotty Scheffler won for the fourth time in five tournaments. The other one, he finished second. And, you know, taking nothing away from Nelly Korda, who a lot of people think has maybe the best golf swing in professional golf. Certainly one of the best. And we can talk a little bit today if you want, because I know you love to talk golf swings, about what it is that Scotty Scheffler does, because everyone's talking about, oh, his golf swing's so weird. It's not really weird.
No.
But, I wanted to run a couple things by you. But here's what I said to Fred on the show the other day. I said, to put in perspective the kind of numbers, and I didn't get into it with him. He doesn't know if strokes gained, greens and regulation, proximity. I said, imagine the best player in baseball hits 325. Scotty Scheffler's hitting 650. Like, would you not agree? Like, his actual, if you go inside the numbers he's putting up, strokes under par, greens, all that stuff, it's so much better than the next person. It is very Tiger-like in terms of his wins. But it's unprecedented in a way in terms of his statistics. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't look at numbers like that hardly at all. But just in terms of the dominance, you just can't deny what he does. But you also look at best players in any sport. They hit upon four things, and there's no secret why they lead in their categories. Is that they just perform at this other level. And that's what Scotty Scheffler is doing right now. It's like at this otherworldly level. And we haven't really seen that since Tiger. And I think part of what that does is his competition, guys like Morikawa, et cetera, Ludvig Åberg, they not only look at what Scotty does on the golf course, how he looks, how he handles himself, but they are nerds that look at the numbers. And they look at those numbers and go, holy shit, how do we beat this guy?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's if you don't want to get into the minutia of the strokes gained, proximity, you know, strokes, whatever level category, something to par. Think about this. Here's a couple of them. Scheffler is the first player since Tiger Woods in 2006 to win the week after winning a major. First since 85. To win the RBC Heritage the week after winning the Masters. His 10th tour victory coming in just 51 starts. 4 wins and a runner-up in the past 5 starts. The first player since Woods in 2007-2008 to have 5 consecutive top 2 finishes. Only one other player has ever had a run like that, and that's Vijay Singh in 2004. And finally, again, there's a bunch of them, but here's the last one. In 51 starts since the 2022 Phoenix Open, Scheffler has also had 23 top 3 finishes, so that's 45% of his starts, and 35 top 10 finishes, nearly 70% of his starts.
My goodness. When's the instant book coming out?
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about his swing, as you're, and I know you're doing some swing coaching, and I know this is a show. And there's two things with Scottie Scheffler I want to discuss with you. One is the move he makes, and what an amateur, you know, person could look for, not just the footwork, but what that footwork produces. But before we get there, I want you to talk a little bit about what you believe, or if you have an opinion, that his faith plays a part in his mental, his mental game, or his mental acuity, whatever you want to call it.
I think it's huge. I think it's absolutely the foundation that he lives his life and how he looks at everything. And I think the core things that come to me from Scheffler is, number one thing, family and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's like, as Vern Lundquist says, one and one A. So I think when you're that grounded, whatever happens to you, whatever, you know, the ebbs and flows of what's happening in competition, I just think rather than spike, you know, emotions and thinking up and down, he more rolls with it. And because at the end of the day, he knows that, I mean, it's, he is excited. He knows it. You know, he said that, you know, he even talked to friends on the morning of the Master and say, why does this matter so much to me? He wants to win. But at the end of the day, when you get right down to it in the battlefield, if you will, I don't think he suffers from the highs, extreme highs and the lows that a lot of players do, because he knows that that's not the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Winning is great, but his faith is, and his family are paramount. And I think you can see that just in people like you can see it in Jordan Spieth. The most important thing in his family growing up was taking care of his sister, Nellie, who was, sorry, I might be screwing up on that name, but that she's mentally challenged. That was the most important thing. And, you know, Jack Nicklaus, most important thing to him was his family. He didn't spend weeks and weeks on tour. It was about his family. So I think when you're grounded like that, you're just able to withstand and not ride the roller coaster mm-hmm. of emotions.
It's not the most important thing. And I had this, I totally agree. And I had this conversation with our friend, Ken Osborne. He was one of the guys I went on this golf trip with. And we drove there together, he and I. And it was like, at one point I said, we should be recording this. It was like a 15-hour podcast. But one of the things I said to him that really resonated with him, you know, before I tell you what I said, just remember that not only is Scottie Scheffler winning at this level, he won at the college level, where I first became aware of him. He's won 100. He won 100 amateur golf tournaments. And so back to the idea of faith, this faith-based family he was born into, this idea of faith being important was baked in. This is the expression that I used with Kent. Mm-hmm. It was baked into him from an early age that what Absolutely. Was more important than this tournament you're about to play as a seven-year-old was your family and the faith that the family observed. And yep. and by the way, this doesn't have to do nothing to do with what I think of religion. It has to do with what I think of this, what it does for him. And I think it is his superpower in a way. And I'll draw a parallel because I know Tiger, the flawed individual. But what was baked into Tiger from a very, very, very early age, the Green Beret mindset, coupled with his mother and her Buddhist Thai Zen vibe. By the time Tiger got to be playing other boys and girls, they had no chance. The same way that Scotty dominated as a kid, because he had something other than golf riding on, not riding, ruling his, driving his life, the same way Tiger did.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean this as a shameless plug of my upcoming book, but
sorry, your book, Getting Unstuck, Six Transformational Practices for Golf Nerds, that one?
Wow, just like we practiced it.
Forward no. by GSL.
No, you see, what I've been talking about is, see, it's not our it's not our golf swings. It's not our inability to move our bodies, you know, and transfer our weight and shift and turn that causes the problems. It's our behavior. And that starts with our belief system. And the way you see the world, how you perceive the world, and you perceive yourself in it. And I think that when you're so grounded, like a person like Scottie Scheffler, like I said before, you're not just subject to the slings and arrows of, say, you have a couple of bad holes of ball striking. You don't see, you know, dive down into this crisis to go, oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to solve this? There's more of just an ability to go, you know what? We'll ride through this. Mm-hmm. It'll be fine. I'll be fine. And eventually things just kind of even out.
If so, I may just quickly interject, the difference between Scottie Scheffler and Wyndham Clark, who famously, you know, got a new mental coach and then 2 weeks later won a tournament, 3 weeks later won the U.S. Open. The difference is what is in that term I used. With Scottie Scheffler, it's been baked in since birth.
100%.
With Wyndham Clark, it's like trying on a new system.
I agree. Although, not to take anything away from Wyndham Clark, but there was a guy who had not dealt with the trauma of losing his mother. And that, so he's grasping onto that. But just like you said, someone like Scottie Scheffler, you know, baked in, he's lived with it since he was a kid. I mean, this is part of who he is. This is part of his being. So it's not something he has to work at as much. It's just part of who he is.
Exactly. It's always been. And I'm not saying, not to argue against our show, because Wyndham Clark having a system or being introduced to a new psychologist is better than not doing anything.
It's, oh, absolutely. You know,
but it's hard to compete. That's why Tiger was so dominant. People kept looking in the wrong spots. At that time, you know, the kind of conversations that you and I have had now for 9 years, people weren't having them in the early 90s to mid 90s. So when Tiger's mother and the Green Beret training and all that stuff came up, it was interesting, but it was more like seen as a curiosity. Everyone thought, he's got such a great swing. And again, Scottie Scheffler's got otherworldly abilities, but they all do. They all have those. They're all amazing athletes, but that spirituality, that faith that he has, it's going to be tough to compete against that guy for a while, because that won't go away. Whereas Wyndham Clark, and that, nothing again, I agree, and taking nothing away from him, he seems a bit douchey to me, but that's fine. He just seems douchey, but that will come and go. You know it'll take years to get Wyndham Clark to the point where Scottie Scheffler got when he was 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah, so where I'll make the connection to, say, you know, amateur golfers, you know, the weekend warriors, the people who listen to our show, is that someone like Scheffler has been, in essence, practicing a kind of mindfulness for his whole life. The things that we talk about on this show and we read about, we're fascinated by, are, you know, those things that people can do. They can learn meditation, you know, how to listen to your body. Then there's certain sort of techniques that people try. But the people who are really super successful, this isn't something that they just try on like a new set of clothes. And if it doesn't work, a week later, they're on to something else, which I was guilty of that for most of my playing days. Flitting, there's that word, from thing to thing to thing. Mm-hmm. Try this. Oh, it doesn't work. Try something else. When something, like I said earlier, Scheffler's faith in himself and in family, God, whatever, in just himself as a creature of God, he knows he's okay. But this is, as you say, it's part of who he is. It's not something he's tried on, because new stuff you lose unless you integrate it and becomes part of your life.
Well, and that's why I say, you know, like, better to do something. Better to, listen to the first 50 shows we've done. Better to do something than to do nothing. But, you know, Nicholas had a similar experience. All the great ones, it turns out all the great ones have something that gives them grounding at a deep baked in, I'll keep using that word because I love it,
yep,
a deep baked in level that is different than kind of what we talk about. Again, you know, I was one of the conversations I had with Ken, but also I've had it on the show. You know, prior to me reading Golf Is Not a Game of Perfect, I was a different kind of golfer. And I was not able, listen, I had a lot of unresolved, we all know, had a lot of unresolved issues that manifested themselves in being a rage farmer, you know, and that helped me. But it certainly wasn't something I picked up early on, and I certainly didn't have it baked into my golf or otherwise DNA. So I want to talk a little bit about his swing.
Yeah.
Because now there's all these funny things, all these things on Instagram and TikTok online of guys trying his swing and, you know, pulling or doing this weird thing with his right foot. First of all, I'm curious what you think of it, because I know what I think of it. What do you think of it?
Well, he to me reminds me a little bit of Bruce Litsky. He looks like he's coming over the top a lot. I mean, those shoulders are just firing through. And I think that what really makes, what I notice in his swing is that he fires through that ball like it's not there with tremendous speed. I mean, it's just incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's a big, strong kid, too. Big, strong kid.
Oh, yeah. What's he, 6'3 or something?
Yeah, you don't really get the size of him until you see him standing next to a normal person. Like, seriously, next time, I'm not being cute. I am cute.
No.
But, you know, next time you watch him on TV, folks, watch him next to a normal, like a one of a tour official. Next time somebody comes over to give him a ruling, just look at a normal-sized man next to Scottie Scheffler. So he's a big, big kid. But go on.
Yeah. So what I notice when you look at a down-the-line view is if you're standing behind him on the target line, is that he fires through the ball. It almost looks like an over-the-top swing. Like that right shoulder just ends up firing down so fast and through. And I think that's why he looks like he's sometimes off balance a bit. And I did, like, Lou Stagner put up an interesting thing on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, yesterday. And he's sort of like, he said, what's the handicap of this player?
No, I saw that. I saw it. It was cute.
That image, it was kind of dulled out, and it was Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's falling off balance. He makes a swing and falls off balance.
I don't totally agree about the Litsky move, but I do understand why it looks like he's coming over the top. Because all good players, like if you look at defining what over the top is for a pro, for a good golf swing and a amateur golf swing or a slicer, we'll call it like a high handicap. They're coming out and over the top. But what Hogan did, what most good golfers do, Evershed was one of the first ones I've ever heard anyone ever say this, which is a good golf swing feels like an over-the-top block. And what it is the opposite of trying to come underneath so hard that you block yourself. But without getting too far down that rabbit hole. But what Scottie Scheffler does, and why I think people are looking in the wrong spot, back to Evershed, and what I've learned from him is that Scottie Scheffler gets so far, so onto his left side, that right foot, as it squiggles around, in the world of stack and tilt, they call it breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And what Sheds would call it, he wouldn't call it breaking, but what that right side does, if you look at any good player, from Nicklaus, Hogan, Moe, anybody that's making a decent golf swing, what their right foot does is it rolls inward. People are familiar with what I'm talking about. But by right rolling inward versus amateur players, what they do is their foot comes up right away, and which is why the hip goes toward the ball. So all of this is by way of saying good players have always used their right side to break. you know, the way people will talk about Rory's swing, it almost looks like his hips come to a stop for a second. That's a break.
Right.
So what Scottie Scheffler learned to do early on was to break, meaning slow down his right side from spinning by doing that move. And that's what he's doing, which is why, to your point, and it's a good one, it looks like he fires his right side through the ball so quickly because he's got the best break of guys out there. Like, that little squiggly thing he does just makes it impossible for his right hip to spin early. And being, that's one of the reasons I wanted to point out how strong he is.
Mm.
Being as strong a boy as he is, you combine what I've just said, and, you know, again, if you don't believe me, go and look at some slow motion swings of Tiger, Hogan, Nicklaus. You watch their right foot, it will roll first and then stand up or come up off the heel second. The rest of us, myself included, by the way, when I'm hitting it shitty, like I was last week, that's what it feels to me. It feels like my sequence goes the opposite. I go to hit the golf ball, and all of a sudden, my right heel comes up. And that's why, I'm not saying you try the Scottie Scheffler swing, but I would say go look up the phrase breaking in a golf swing, and you'll see what they do, which is, you know, what Mark said years ago, which is you got to be on your left side prior to hitting that golf ball. And the more you can, the more compression that you get out of a swing. That's what Scottie Scheffler is. For me, that's what I see in his swing.
I want to ask you that.
So how's that for some golf nerd shit?
Well, that's why you're the GSL and you're a deep golf nerd, because you look at that stuff. I mean, I'll take a look from time to time on stuff like that, but I don't take deep dives on
it. I have nothing else to do. Seriously, other than doing the Humble and Fred show and walking the dog in a day, ever since I gave up weed, I've got a lot more time. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I could go somewhere with this, but I'll just let it go.
No, please, go somewhere.
Okay, so how much of, just maybe just briefly, how much of what Shed was talking about, what you're conveying, is a lateral move to the left side, to the lead side, shall we say, for to include our lefty friends, versus rotation?
Well, that's a great question. Here's a great drill that Mark taught me years ago, and I've seen online recently in people talking about Scheffler's swing. So I'm just going to do it for right-handed golfers. Just as a funsy drill, take your setup with a short iron, put your right foot way back, and only just have enough weight on your right foot that's basically just on your toe. So mainly all your weight's on your left side or lead side. So there's all that right foot's doing is balancing you. And then just take some half swings, staying on your left side. And do tell me how different, how much more compression you get through the ball. And to answer your question, what you'll feel first is strike first, rotation second. But because the swing 100%. Happens so fast, most people don't realize that. That's why, again, another great swing to look at is Rory, just before he hits the ball, his hips are square. Now, because of technology, they're square turning, but there's a break in it. There's a moment, an eyelash of a moment where they're not spinning their hips, which is what we do, which is why when we come over the top, or amateurs do, it's because they've already turned, heels up, spin, hips have spinned, there's no weight on the left side, so all they can do is, it's not even coming over the top, it's that shoulders are open early, so the plane has changed to a out to in motion. But I'm going to tell you, sir, if your hips are shoulder, if your shoulders are square or a bit closed, you can come, you can feel like you're over the top all day. But as Mark said years ago to me, he said, as long as you're on plane, you can slide left all you want, because what you'll feel is your body being a bit closed. Again, look at Scottie Scheffler. That move he makes helps him stay close to the target just a second long. It's fantastic. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't recommend you trying to do what he's doing with his leg, but I'd recommend that little drill that I just told you, because it's really cool.
That's an awesome drill, and that's one I show golfers all the time, as well as just hitting the hitting with your feet close together, because it just takes out this excess movement. Mm-hmm. So many players, the overwhelming majority of golfers who are, you know, craving to play better, and they look at YouTube and TikTok and all this stuff, they focus on either the hips or the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they have to fire the hips through, they have to turn, because they saw Tiger, who appeared to have this fast hip turn, and Rory. But just like you said, in slow motion, when you watch Rory with a face-on view, as that club comes down in closer to impact, the hips actually stop. And that's where the speed happens, as that club just roars through there. And, you know, in an iron shot, hits the ball first, then the turf. That exercise that you talked about is amazing. So as a right-hander, you got you're just on your left foot, you put your right foot on your toe, just do whatever you need to do to stay in balance.
Yeah.
And what I find is that the feeling you get is that if I just let my arms do their thing, they're going to just rip through and stay on plane. I'm not going to interfere. And I feel like I'm stacked. I'm over top of the ball.
Exactly.
The mistake that so many amateurs make is you kind of want that K feeling at address, but they even go further back as the club comes into the ball, and yeah, you need that feeling of you're on top of it.
Anytime you hit a ball fat, it's because you got too much weight behind. But that just to clarify, when you do that drill, if you decide to do it, you get your right foot or your back foot almost like you're like way drawn back, not like you're going to hit a hook. And I'm going to tell you, it's what Scottie Scheffler does. Just think about where his right side of his body goes. It goes behind him. And that's what he's doing. Whatever he's doing is the absolute opposite of what most amateurs do, which is spin open too early. And by the way, I don't want everyone to get carried away with this. Your shoulders are only closed. Your body is only closed for the second of transition. It has to be opening through impact, but it's the moment of transition where your body, where your weight goes left or to your lead side, that sets the kind of foundation for you to swing. Yep. And again, back to how strong a kid he is. I watched this thing. You can go look it up online. It's fascinating. Where he calls his shots. He calls his distance, his numbers. For about 2 minutes, he says, okay, driver, 307. And then they have a track man next to him, hits it, 307. All the way down to his bag. So he's uncommonly talented. We know that. And very strong. But this thing that he does, people keep looking in the wrong spot as to why he swings that way. Anyway, there you go. So that's the new 2024 Swing Thoughts, where the coach and I actually talk about golf swings. It is fun. Just quickly,
your trip.
Yeah, it was great. I went over to Pinehurst. I'd never been there before.
You mean to the Pinehurst Resort?
To the resort.
Like, what is it? 6 or 8 courses there?
Something like that. Maybe even more. Saw Pinehurst No. 2. Saw the Payne Stewart statue. Me and my buddy Grant, we went over there one day on our own. They've got this, I don't know, 1 mile wide fucking putting green. It's just incredible. They got a 9-hole course. There was just a bunch of dudes just packing this place. Went into the pro shop. They're going to have the U.S. Open there in a couple months. Drove by No. 2 a couple times. It's just spectacular. I mean, for me, the courses we played were great. They weren't famous, and they weren't expensive.
Nice.
I don't know what people pay to go on Pinehurst No. 2. I don't know, $500 or $600, whatever, U.S.
I've played.
Have you played it?
I've played Pinehurst, I think, four and 4 six.
Apparently is amazing.
Yeah, no, it was amazing golf course. And just when you go there, it's an other level, you know, of prestige, mm-hmm, and service, and, you know, but it's a shit ton of money. You know, as a journalist, I abided by the maxim that we never go in our own pocket.
That's right. Wait a second. I have to pay for this? That's not going to happen.
Really. But, no, I love Pinehurst. Did you guys go to the Pinecrest Is it the hotel they call it? Pinecrest, whatever?
We didn't, but we did go to a golf shop there where a gentleman, he's got literally millions of dollars worth of golf memorabilia. Like, it was one of my favorite afternoons. We just spent an hour talking to this guy, telling us stories.
Can you remind me? I might know him. What's
Bobby is his name. Bobby, he's about 77 years old. He's a member at Marion. You probably know him. He's one of those guys that's been around there for years.
No, there's a guy that I remember interviewing for the Mo book way back in like early 90s for the Mo Norman book. And I have a sense he lives in Pinehurst and he's like a memorabilia.
Yeah,
guy.
I should have asked him because you know what? Now I feel bad because I did say to him, I told him I was from Canada. He knew of Toronto, never heard of the National, but he knew Rubenstein. He was a member at Dornock as well. I think that's why, Dornick. That's one of the reasons I brought up Rubenstein. But I should have brought you up because you're an esteemed golf writer. But it was a great trip. It was a fantastic place. And as I said, talking to Jamie, you know, I just hit it horribly. Like, I hit this driver. Like, this driver saved me because I really wasn't. I don't think I would have kept anything else in play. I did hit a couple of good shots. But overall, it was a better golf experience than golf scoring experience. You know what I mean? Like, I really, my scores were just heinous. But I managed to have a good time.
But the reason you're a plus handicap broadcaster is because you come up with these really interesting insights that might escape a lot of us, namely me, about. You didn't have your best golf swing, but with the QI10 driver, it was helping you keep it in play.
100%.
Boy, that's what we can. Boy, if you can rely on that with your golf tools, that's something to have in the bag.
Well, and you know, I can tell you, like, if you're a higher handicapper than me. If it was helping me keep it in play, it's going to help you keep it in play. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know, I would say I hit maybe a few drives on the face of the club that I was like, ooh, that's cool. Honestly, I was swinging horribly, like really bad, strangely so. And but for some reason, I could get the ball in the face of that three-wood. That three woods, that is a dirty, dirty club. Thank you very much to the product line manager of TaylorMade Golf, Jamie Dees. Thank you to you for listening. Is it next week we're having the hypnotist on?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, I thought as executive producer of the program, we should know that.
Semi-professional.
We're trying to line up a few guests. And just explain really quickly before we say goodbye. What is the hypnotist we're talking to? We're talking to somebody.
Jason Poulter.
He's going to hypnotize us?
And he'll hypnotize everybody who listens to this show so they hit farther and straighter.
Excellent. Tim O'Connor, of course, author of Getting Unstuck and Transformational This or That for Golf. And Tim O'Connor, O'ConnorGolf.ca. And, of course, the producer of the actual executive producers of this program, Humble and Fred Radio. Until next time, thank you very much. Timmy, great job. See you, everybody. Oh, wait. Thanks to TaylorMade, OscarBravo.com, and SecretLinks.golf. Bye. You feel all right when you hit a